Hi, welcome to Colonial Williamsburg, Past and Present on History.org. I'm with Lee Holfelder, who interprets Martha Washington at Colonial Williamsburg, but now we're going back in time. I'm Lloyd Dobbins, and I'm talking to Martha Washington, wife of George Washington, and eventually the first lady of the United States. It's been written that you heard the opening and closing gun of every military campaign of the Revolution. If that's true, it is meaningful on this Memorial Day. So is that true?
Well, at least I heard the first guns. Mm-hmm. I was at Cambridge, Massachusetts with my husband. He so wanted me to be at the first winter with him. And I must say that the first time hearing cannons fire, I found myself quite disturbed. Of course, I had to keep that all to myself, for there are many women with their eyes upon me, seeing how the Lady Washington will handle the guns. Uh-huh. But I looked down from Bunker Hill at one time and saw Charleston and did not see anything but a few chimneys left. And I must say, when they took up the wharfs to put to war, I just found how terrible war was. But again, I had to keep that all to myself.
And you kept going back.
Yes, I spent every winter with my dear old man. I mean my husband, George. My old man is what I call him, too much to a lot of the soldiers' delight. But Morristown I saw twice, and both times for me was quite horrible. The first time when I saw Morristown, New Jersey, my husband was gravely, gravely ill. That was in the year of 1777. Matter of fact, I arrived at Philadelphia first and was trapped with a snowstorm there and thought I would linger. But one night, several soldiers came to me. They took me away from the party that I was involved in and took me to a side room. They told me that my dear husband was gravely ill and they did not think he would make the night. So the next morning, even before dawn did arrive, I was whisked into a sleigh, of all things, wrapped up into a blanket and taken to my husband in Morristown. He was plagued deeply, but to God's blessing, he had made it through the night and is actually doing much better when I arrived. I went right to making a home remedy of molasses and onions for him. And with my nursing, he became quite well. But Morristown was horrible, as the men, they were plagued by smallpox. And, of course, they had not enough food and not enough clothing. But Morristown was worse than 1779. For then they had great snowstorms. Ice, even ice over the Delaware, and they say there was even ice over New York Harbor that you could walk from one side to the other. Well, the ice, very little clothing at that time. Food was short. The army was barely naked. I sent right away to Esther Reed in Philadelphia for her to start a campaign to get money to get shirts for the soldiers.
You cared a lot for the soldiers. You did a lot for them.
Yes. Well, first seeing the conditions of the soldiers. Of course, when I first came to Cambridge, Massachusetts, they were very cheerful. But if every year, especially in Valley Forge, the soldiers had little to eat, less in clothing, and their morale was greatly diminished. I at first went right away doing sewing circles, getting the ladies that are about in the society to gather with me to sew shirts, to mend their breeches, to mend their coats, to knit stockings. We women did get together. And then I visited those soldiers that were wounded in the hospital, found that their morale greatly was raised by the lady, they called me, coming in and spending time with them, nursing to their wounds. Of course, I'm no doctor, nor am I a male nurse, but I could tend to wiping brows, changing bandages.
Smiling. Which always makes people feel better.
Yes. And then also I did find that morale was helped if I arranged certain things. I made sure the general's ladies would come to winter camps as well, so that the generals that were about had their ladies beside them and their families, tried to keep things as normal as possible, putting dinner parties together. And I know many spoke ill of me, of putting some dances together. But I know my dear husband, when we were in Morristown one year, his morale was greatly diminished. I had never seen him so sorrowful. So I arranged a dance. Well, It was not only me, but Kitty Green assured me that she had to have it. Well, Kitty Green decided that she was going to have a competition for the young men to see who could outdance her in the dance that night. Well, it was not the young men that outdanced Kitty Green that evening, but it was my dear husband, George. They went for 3 hours, they did, and Kitty finally gave up the ghost, but my husband danced on all through the night.
I cannot imagine dancing for 3 hours. How do you do that?
Oh, so I tell you I do not. Oh. But my husband, he could dance from the evening hours way till the dawn of the next morning. I think it was what he needed, and that is why I was there.
You say the other ladies were there. Anybody else you remember?
Well, there was Kitty Green. There was Lucy Knox.
Oh, okay.
There was Esther Reed at some times, Mrs. Singleton, of course. And then, of course, we took while we were in Middlebrook. It was Middlebrook. Mrs. Ford's home we took. Of course, her husband had died. No, it was Moorestown we took Mrs. Ford's house. Her husband had died in Moorestown earlier, the first time we were there.
So it wasn't an individual effort. It was an individual effort to make it a cooperative effort. You wanted to get all the ladies in that you could to go around, visit, and tend to things and sew things.
Yes, sir. If it was just me, sir, it would not have been as successful as if I got all the ladies. To give you an example, when I was trapped in Philadelphia for a while with the snow before I could get to Moorestown, I did not sit idle. I knew that my husband was in dire straits in Moorestown, so I talked with Esther Reed, Joseph Reed's wife. He was the governor and, of course, one of the aides to my husband at one time. Well, both of us talked, and we decided that collectively we ladies could do a lot. And we decided to raise money to buy shirts for the soldiers and to mend them and make some of them ourselves. Well, Esther Reed and I raised so much money that we bought many shirts. As a matter of fact, the most fun we had was we annoyed those that were loyalist enough that they even gave us money just to get rid of us. But Esther Reed and I were not the only ones. We got all the ladies in the community that felt dire to the cause to come to our aid.
So it wasn't that you were just cheering up your husband, which is a worthy thing to do. You actually were sort of being the quartermaster for the troops, getting shirts.
Yes. Matter of fact, one of the men said to me, I was like a Spartan woman sending my sons off to war.
Actually, the Spartan women went to war themselves. But that's,
well, sir, maybe in a way I did as well.
Could very well be. Which is the place that you remember as the grimmest of the places you visited during the war?
Well, I cannot tell whether it was Valley Forge or that last year we were in Moorestown. Valley Forge was terrible. The fact that we had no hospital. The only hospital in the area was in Philadelphia, and that, of course, was occupied by the British. There were many illnesses that year. Men did not have enough food and did not have enough lodging. So there was typhus, there was a smallpox epidemic, and one doctor wrote, many more men died in the hospital than the campaign of that war that year. I watched so many young men die. But of course, that second year in Moorestown with the snows, and the snows came so greatly upon us that we were not able to build shelters for our troops as needed. So when I first arrived, I saw troops that had moved the snow away and slept one with another, wrapped up in the blankets that they could find, nearly naked, and laying upon the ground. And with those snows, many men got ill as well. So I'd say both Valley Forge and that second year in Moorestown, those years of 1778 to almost 1780, were the grimmest for my husband and myself.
You could, if you had wanted to, not have gone. your presence was not militarily required, legally required, congressionally required. After Valley Forge, why didn't you say that's enough?
If you would see my husband's face when I would arrive at camp, and the faces of not only my husband but the soldiers, upon my arrival it was like the sun coming up after a long time of rain. So I could not have not gone to be with my husband and those men. I knew it was as important for them to see my husband as it was for them to see me.
That's Colonial Williamsburg, past and present this time, with Lee Holfelder portraying Martha Washington. Check history.org often. We'll post more for you to download and hear.